Good morning and greetings to everyone. Thank you, Mr. Dunn. I assume everyone's coping again with all the heat. You know, it wasn't just a few months ago, I myself was guilty of complaining about how cold it was, you know, and all the snow and everything. And sure enough, you know, we're just a big pile of vanity. Like Mr. Francis mentioned. Sabbath is supposed to be a happy time, and here he gives us this sad news that he's leaving. Well, I wish him well and for the whole family and everything. But that was an excellent message you gave today. Excellent message. And we're going to miss not only you, but the messages and the teaching that you give us. So, well, brethren, when I say the word ambassador, what comes to mind? What do you think about? Maybe an envoy? A diplomat representing a nation? Maybe a certain hotel? You know, many hotels carry that name, ambassador. Around the world. Tulsa has the Hotel Ambassador. Pretty nice hotel downtown on Main Street. But if you have a long history with the church, the word ambassador will probably bring to mind Ambassador College or university. In 1947, 64 years ago, Ambassador College was founded and became firmly associated with today's era of God's church. Ambassador College is part of our church heritage. That is, if we've been a member for many, many years, and if you're pretty recent to the Church of God, then you may not really have those old ties to the word Ambassador College. Even today, in United, we have the Ambassador Bible Center in Cincinnati at the home office, which continues the heritage of this word. Ambassador has been associated with the Church of God for many, many, many years. As most of us know, the word ambassador is found in the Bible. And we accept what Paul writes there, that true Christians are duty-bound to be ambassadors for God's kingdom. When we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we agreed to many things. Maybe unknowingly, but we accepted and agreed to all that's in the Bible concerning baptism. And one of those things is that we would become an ambassador for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. You and I are representatives of God's coming government. Kind of scary at times. We are envoys. Every day of every week of our lives, we should live ideally as ambassadors. Do we do that? How do ambassadors live? And why is it so important? It's important because many people in the world who we interface with, maybe just briefly, may come to have their very first vision of who God really is through us, His ambassadors. You ever thought about that? If we're representing God and we're in a role of an ambassador, we're going to give off and envision to other people what God is like. And that's pretty weighty. You know, that's pretty weighty on our shoulders to carry that. Some in the world may come to judge who God is through us, either positive or negative. Through all that we say and do and appear to them, they're going to envision God. And that's my message for today, becoming better ambassadors for God's kingdom. Because we've all got room to improve. We all fall down at times. Now, I want to first present a definition of what physical ambassadors do for their governments. Then I want to look at what the scriptures say on this, and then what our individual roles and challenges are in being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Some examples of being, how to be a good ambassador. The dictionary would say that an ambassador is the highest ranking government official or diplomat that is stationed in a foreign nation's capital. An ambassador is a country's resident envoy or representative to another country. The ambassador and his staff are afforded in this other country a territory or an embassy to live in the host country so that they can become acquainted more closely with the culture and the people of the land that they are making relationships with. Ambassadors have to do with relations between governments. And as we envision all of this in the physical realm of government diplomats and so forth, try to see the parallel with us being an ambassador representing God's kingdom. Some of the synonyms for ambassador is an agent, a delegate, an emissary, an envoy, a minister, a servant, a representative. And just as a point of history, would you believe that the state of Morocco in North Africa in December 1777 became the first nation to recognize and to establish relations with the fledgling United States? Very first nation to recognize us after our independence, Morocco. 2 years later, in 1779, Benjamin Franklin established the first overseas mission of the United States in Paris, France. And of course, since then, many years gone by, the U.S. State Department has developed a vast network of diplomatic missions and embassies and consulates scattered all over the globe. If you would go and look up all of our embassies in all of our countries, it just page after page after page of all of these diplomatic relationships. Us having a representative in these foreign countries to build relationships and to do the business of dealing between nations, of representing the United States. Our spiritual use of the word ambassador is found in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul uses the word to include not only himself, but all Christians who are in Christ, those who have truly surrendered themselves to God's will. So if we are in Christ, we are ambassadors for God. Let's notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, probably the most commonly quoted scripture involving ambassador. Verse 17. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Now, I want to stop there and just say that, again, in Christ is a very encompassing word or phrase. It involves a lot. It involves conversion, involves repentance, baptism, and having the Spirit of Christ in us. You know, it's very encompassing to be in Christ. It's not something that just a casual person can be on the street. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and fresh. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given you, or given us, you and me, the whole church, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses or sins to them, and I'm adding here, but rather canceling them, forgiving them, and has committed to us the word or message of reconciliation. So, we've been given by God a ministry or a service or a serving in reconciliation. This ministry is bringing man and God together through Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, but yet pretty difficult, really. It has to do with restoring a right relationship between man and God, to reconcile and restore harmony between man and God. God did that with us when he called us out of this world. We were then reconciled. And he's doing that with the world, with the rest of the world, as he chooses to call them on his timetable. God has a master timetable. He's not calling everyone now. In fact, most will be called after Christ returns. But today, this reconciliation ministry is produced somewhat through our efforts of preaching the gospel and being an example to others of what God is all about. God's using us, and he's given us this ministry of reconciliation, of helping to reconcile man to God. God desires our participation in reconciling. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading, or you could say appealing or speaking through us. You know, God's working through us as ambassadors. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the starting point in all of this, being reconciled. Verse 21, for he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, the Greek word for this word ambassador, that's interpreted or translated ambassador, means a senior person. And by implication, then, one acting as a lead or a representative. Paul is calling those who have been reconciled to God as seniors. You know, we're all seniors. But we've also been ambassadors. True Christians represent God and his kingdom to this world, just as physical ambassadors represent their country to their host country. Our kingdom that we represent is spiritual. It's yet to come. So we can only represent God's kingdom in part, as earthly beings not yet made as, you know, a spirit, as like Christ is. Now, going back in our past heritage, Mr. Armstrong, apparently was drawn to this word ambassador and to its meaning. He picked up on it. He used it. It became now part of our heritage. It's so well known in the church over the years, Ambassador College. And God probably inspired that. There's a lot of meaning there. You know, to be an ambassador, to think about representing God and His kingdom, should be uplifting. Should be uplifting. It should inspire us to live all the more openly for Christ and be servants and helping to reconcile others to God. It may be we have no higher calling than to be an envoy of the King of Kings and the Savior of this world. And Paul, of course, understood that. He was, you might say, an ambassador at large. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul continues this concept here of ambassador. Ephesians 6, 19, and for me, Paul, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul here was literally in chains, in prison. He was in prison in Rome at the time of writing this letter to the Ephesians. And even that, knowing that Paul was in prison writing this letter, sends a message that no matter what our condition in life, whether we're in prison, and we have members in prison, or if we're homebound because we've got bad health and we can't really get out, or we're free to really travel any place we want to go, we can be God's representatives to boldly preach and to boldly set an example to this world. Being in prison didn't prevent Paul from being an ambassador. Paul also wrote his letter to Philemon during this same time in a Roman prison. We can turn there. Philemon, verse 9. Philemon, verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I, Paul, rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, the senior, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, in several translations, the word aged here is translated ambassador. In the New King James, it's translated aged. But in the Amplified Bible, in the Revised Standard Version, in the Good News Translation, they use ambassador, which again relates to an aged senior servant of God. Now, again, why is being a servant of God so important? Why? Because God at any time and in any place or manner may let this person or that person be reconciled to Him through us. We're here in part to help others in this world come to envision the true God. And God may very well use us at any time to call someone else by what we say, how we appear, and just our general actions. And some of us, no doubt, if we would go back and rehearse how we came into God's church, how we were called of God, there could have been an individual responsible. But then there, for me personally, it was a broadcast, a radio broadcast. But for others, it was a magazine. For others, it was a real live person. We are agents of God. We're servants of God. And He directs our lives. And He uses us to call people that we may not have the foggiest idea will respond. And I'll address some of that later, because when we're dealing with other people, we can't shy away from religious thought. I'll talk on that later. So it somewhat behooves us, I believe, to think of ourselves throughout the day, you know, like 24/7, as envoys. We get up in the morning, and you know, we're stumbling around in our underwear, and we may go through the half the day in our underwear or pajamas or whatever. But we need to be thinking that, yes, even in my underwear, I'm an envoy. I'm an ambassador for God's kingdom. Now, when we step outside, maybe we should put on something different. And I'll address that too shortly. But in spite of all of our weaknesses, we are envoys. But how does being an envoy, a diplomat for Christ, apply? You know, how do we live this out? What are the requirements, and how do we go about life living as reps for God? I have 3 points to consider in preparing us to be good or better ambassadors. I'm sure there's more, but I'm going to limit to 3. Point number 1, a good ambassador is loyal and faithful to his government and to its founding beliefs and laws. A good ambassador is loyal and faithful to his government and to its founding beliefs and laws. You know, our spiritual government is the coming kingdom of God. And that will come in full reality when Christ returns to be seated on his throne. At that time, we will receive the kingdom and any position and any reward that Christ is preparing for us. A few scriptures here. You don't really need to turn here. These are familiar, but Daniel 7, verse 18, speaking of the end time. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The saints can be shown to be those in Christ. Those in Christ are ambassadors. We shall receive God's kingdom. We're representing that kingdom now, being in a physical state. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions or rooms or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We have a place being prepared for us. And by extension, we've looked at this as a position, a reward. But until that time comes, we've been called saints to represent the coming kingdom as ambassadors in a physical sense. We're limited to the physical. You know, our duty to serve and our allegiance and fidelity to Christ and His kingdom is absolute. We have to be loyal. To represent God and His kingdom, we have to be loyal to that kingdom. You know, as saints, we unconditionally confirm the laws of God and the principles in the Bible, His Word. God recruited us to be envoys, to believe and to stand up and to honor the laws of His government. And we should joyfully represent Him in good times and bad times. You know, there's going to be bad times as an ambassador. Things are going to happen. You know, our country, our kingdom is somewhat under attack at times from other spiritual forces. We know the ultimate victory in all of this, but yet we suffer at times. The church suffers at times. Part of our training, you know, as ambassadors is to show our king, you know, the head of our government, how faithful we are. God wants to know what we're made of, whether we can internalize and accept the laws of His kingdom in our heart and mind. He wants to know. And He wants us to witness that openly in front of others. There's always going to be some trials of life. There's going to be temptations out there to prompt us in a way to abandon our beliefs, to give up the laws of God. And many over the years, going back many, many years when God began to deal with me, many have given up. They had a job as an envoy, but something happened, and they resigned from that job, and they laid it aside, and they walked off, and they no longer believe in the founding laws and structure of God's kingdom. And I can't answer that totally. They just didn't stay on top of it. They weren't excited about being a representative of God. And so, we can't, as ambassadors, we can't be fence sitters, can we? We can't have one leg over here in the church and then one leg over here in the world. You know, one way not committed to the laws of God and the kingdom of God. In James chapter 1, verse 8, we're warned not to be a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. To be double-minded is to float a little bit between God and this world. You know, yes, we like to come and we like to have Sabbath church with all the people, but on the other days of the week, we like the world and the things of the world. A good ambassador can't be that way, sitting on the fence. We can't be faithful workers and diplomats for God if we part-time are part-time ambassadors. And we still like to dabble in the sins of the world. It's just not going to work. Something's going to happen. U.S. ambassadors around the world promote the policies of the United States government and its administration. And of course, that changes over time. A new presidential administration gets in, sometimes the policies change. And so the ambassadors have to take a different approach. Our job is to promote the unchanging truth of God's government. That never changes. God doesn't change His laws. It's the same forever. So that makes our job a little easier because we have a set group of policies and statutes and laws that we can promote. And we promote it by going out each day to live and be examples to this world, living those laws. Colossians chapter 3. A good verse here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, Paul is speaking, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So as we promote the laws of the kingdom, in all that we do, we must live in word and deed those laws faithfully. We have to not only teach them, but live them. We can't be hypocrites. As diplomats, we must know the law. We must know, let's say, the Ten Commandments in both the spirit and the letter. Do you know the Ten Commandments? It's very basic for God's ambassador. You don't have to have it memorized from Exodus, but can you paraphrase all ten, and even in the proper order? We should be going over those Ten Commandments routinely. What's number seven? What's number four? What's number nine? And as we live each day as God's representative, we need to somewhat live vicariously and put ourselves into the kingdom the best that we can imagine it. And then let our decisions and our actions come from living in God's kingdom vicariously, being in His holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We are to live and promote a clean and holy life as servants of God. When we go out, never should anyone see uncleanness and unholiness about us. And to even symbolize that to a little degree, we eat clean meat, symbolizing somewhat all the more our clean way of life. As ambassadors, we also become citizens of God's government. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. We're citizens of God's government. Ephesians 2:19. "Now therefore you," and Paul's talking to the Christians in Ephesus, "are no longer strangers and foreigners." You're not just common people of the world anymore, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're in a brand new status, a whole new category. In Philippians chapter 3, along these same lines, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship," Paul's addressing the same subject, "our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So we have a heavenly citizenship. And we have a physical citizenship here on this earth. We have dual citizenship. Physically, we may be Americans, but spiritually, our citizenship is in heaven with God. Dual citizenship. Which of these do you value the most? Which do you value the most? You know, at times, our dual citizenship clashes. They don't agree. You know, and Peter gave us the answer to that, though, when they clash. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So it's very easy to know which citizenship should we submit to ultimately. You know, as true servants and envoys of Christ, His laws and His statutes should always trump our physical American rights and privileges. You know, people love their rights. You know, they love their privileges. They like to quote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of this, and that's fine. In the U.S., you know, people have the right to abort a baby. You know, they have a right to buy and view pornography and to put it out there for almost anyone to see. They have a right to take God's name in vain. They have a right to go live a gay lifestyle. But a true Christian envoy, an ambassador and a citizen of heaven, should refuse those rights and not participate in those man-made rights. You know, the kingdom that we serve is not of this world. Jesus said that when he was before Pilate. My kingdom's not of this world. It's a higher level. And we're citizens of that higher kingdom. Let's move on. Point number two. A good ambassador avoids any action that would lead to scandal and disgrace upon his government. A good ambassador avoids any action that would lead to scandal and disgrace upon his government. You know, the world today is full of scandal and outrageous acts of immorality at all levels, even at high levels of government. Governments, though, do not like it when their trusted diplomats get caught in some embarrassing escapade or with their pants down, if you know what I mean. They don't like it. It affects their government. It's embarrassing. So ambassadors try to live a decent life. Publicly, anyway, they try to live a stately, well-dressed life to honor their company, their country's image in the midst of the host nation that they are stationed. They want to set a good example. Stay away from scandal. And we too, in representing God's kingdom, must live lives that are above approach, above accusation, above criticism. Now, we can't do that all the time because we may be falsely accused. But never should that accusation be true. And that's a tall order. It's almost like we have to be perfect. Now, that's our goal, but, you know, we don't always live up to that. But as we go out daily and represent God, every word, every action, even our appearance our appearance needs to be guarded. Sometimes our mouth runs off before we engage the brain. And we all say stupid stuff at times. You know, earlier I quoted this verse in Colossians 3, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's be thinking about that all the time. Now, to help us in this, you know, exercising this control as we are out representing God, I think it's good maybe to try to create a habit, a daily habit of getting ourselves focused on who we represent before we even leave the house every day. As we walk out that door, you know, if we have thoughts of who we are, where our citizenship is, and who we are representing, and the laws that we live by, the government that we're under, that would be good. Even if we're going to the grocery store, it would be good to think about that. And that's not always easy because, you know, we all like to run down to the Quick Trip and we may look pretty grody at times. You know, we just got, hey, I'm just as guilty of everyone. But maybe, and I need to work on this myself, maybe we just need to be a little more focused on our appearance. Because if a real ambassador, you know, was not dressed properly for the occasion, it probably would be in the newspapers the next day. So we, you know, even though we're at Quick Trip, we're still representing God. When we're in our workplace, we're representing God. We're in research, we're representing God. And I'm all for nice, casual dressing. You know, nothing wrong with that. But what we see today on the streets and in the stores is rather obscene to me. In many, many cases, you know, we've got skimpy clothing being worn. We've got extra tight clothing. And we've got the showing of too much skin in public places. And that's not what Christian men and women who are ambassadors should be wearing. Who are we representing? Hollywood? No, I believe official diplomats worldwide are very conscious of their dress code. And they have a dress code, very strict. Because they and their country may again be judged by a slip in appearance. It's going to hit the newspapers. And we ourselves physically, you know, we give honor to those who are well-groomed, well-dressed. We somewhat respect them more just because they've got on nice clothes. We naturally assign more smarts and more savvy and more confidence to those who dress the part appropriately. And we tend to assign negative views on those who are dressed inappropriately or immodestly. And what we see on TV today can be pretty shocking. Pretty shocking. Immorality and immodesty rule the day in Hollywood, in TV and all the media. We could generally say that Hollywood is somewhat of an ambassador at large, not for God, but for another opposing spirit. Hollywood is ruled, it seems, by the spirit of Satan. And Paul touched upon this concept of immodesty and so forth. Let's, you know, it's been a while since we've read this. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We need to think about this a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also that the women, and let me just say that the Spirit and the principle of this verse applies to men just as much to women. You know, it doesn't give men the right to be immodest. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So Paul had to address this issue back then in 50 or 60 A.D., whichever. I didn't look up the estimated, you know, time of writing this letter to Timothy. Now, this verse stresses modest apparel, which means appropriate apparel, sensible, respectable clothing that honors the occasion. You know, our clothing in general should be not shameful. It's not crossing the line. But too many times some of us may let, fashion and trends dictate our clothes. You know, we want to be in style. You know, fashion designers, I don't believe, study the Word of God to help them design their styles. I don't think they go to the Scriptures and say, well, let's see, what should our next style be? They don't do that. Designers want to create styles that label us, and particularly women, as cute. You know? And what woman doesn't want to be cute? I mean, some men want to be cute, too. But to be cute, sometimes a compromise is made that shows way too much skin for a godly woman as described in what we just read. Verse 9 there. Our duty is to be modest and dress the part to represent God at all times. It's not to be cute if it shows too much leg or breast or causes an offense to someone. That's not a godly approach. Most Christian men, whether at church or in the grocery line, find it very awkward and uncomfortable to be next to a female exposing too much flesh and cleavage in the name, you know, of style and cuteness. You know, most Christian men don't like that. It puts us in an awkward situation. And I hope everyone understands what I'm saying there. And that shouldn't be among us. And it's mostly not. I can remember a few years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles in Branson. A young man in his early 20s, who I had known for a few years, came up to me after services one day and said, "Mr. Hopper, why are all of these young girls showing off their breasts here in church?" And I said, "Well, not all of them are doing that." And he said, "Yes, but far too many are doing it." It put him in an awkward situation. And I had to agree with him. You know, it seems that grooming and styles and modesty standards have fallen down a lot over the years. And for whatever reason, there's exposure, even in God's church. And it was tough on him. And he was trying to serve God, but he was finding it very awkward to be in a situation when certain girls would come up and talk to him that exposed themselves more than maybe what they should have. So let's remember, for the sake of others, don't offend. Don't offend. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who or which is in you? God dwells in us, in this temple, this body, whom or that you have from God. And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm not picking on women only. Men can be immodest at times too. I don't think in church here we'd want to see a hairy chest on a man exposed. You know, there's a time and place for everything. We glorify God by covering our body with proper clothing. We should dress to represent God, even going to Quick Trip. And I need to work on that, you know. Now, I'm not saying we have to be perfectly clean-shaven and just immaculate every time we go to Quick Trip. I'm not going there, you know. And I'm not going to define the, you know, where we cross the line. These are principles that you have to sort out with God's Spirit in you. You know, our clothing, our hair, our basic grooming should be modest. That's the principle right there. You have to draw that line. It should basically not offend anyone. And maybe that's the best definition we could come up with, is that does anything you're wearing right now offend someone? I mean, in a real, sincere, honest way. Our dress should promote and give honor to God's kingdom. Remember, we are His ambassadors. Point number three. Enough said on that. Point number three. A good ambassador is honored to share with others the hope and blessings of his government. A good ambassador is honored to share with others the hope and blessings of his government. You know, even to this day, U.S. ambassadors around the world are a beacon of hope. A beacon of hope to those who desire freedom and liberty and the opportunity to live a decent life. And we as God's ambassadors have much more than that to offer this world. You know, what we can offer is much more. This world is spiritually sick. It's devoid of right knowledge. It refuses to go to the source to solve major problems in the world. What we offer is the good news of God's kingdom that will one day come to deliver us true liberty from sin and bondage. The world is in bondage right now because of sin. And they sin because some, they don't know, it's total ignorance. Others, they don't care. They don't want to follow what God says. In his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, Christ spoke to his followers and said that they and we are the salt of the earth. You know, something of value. Something prized, at least for those who have eyes to see. Most of the world doesn't. They don't prize Christians, true Christians. But one day their eyes will be opened and they will then see, wow, these people were valuable. They had it. They had the answer. And I just didn't see it. I turned away from that. Christ also said that we are the light of the world. And he commands in verse 16, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So part of our job as ambassadors is to let our light shine, to be seen by the world. Not to hide under a bushel, but to be seen, to let our works of representing God's kingdom be obvious to those who we come in contact with. And to do this, we can't be hesitant or afraid or embarrassed to share God and His truth with others. You know, on the surface, I think most of us are not, but yet we might hesitate bringing up God in a conversation. We might be somewhat afraid that somebody finds out that you're a Sabbath keeper. You attend church when? You know, I can remember in my early days when God began to call me, the first few years of my calling, and I was attending the Sabbath. You know, I had to struggle with that because I was a little self-conscious about other people knowing that I kept the Sabbath. So I would try to slip around and, you know, go to church on the Sabbath without a lot of people seeing me because I didn't want to be confronted. I didn't want to have to deal and talk with them. I was a babe in Christ, and I had overcoming to do. And we probably all had to do some of that. But as the years go by, you outgrow that, hopefully. And it's a great point of conversation now if someone wants to talk about the Sabbath. So we can't be embarrassed. One thing that we can do, I mean, I'm not suggesting we, you know, in sharing our truth or going out on the street corner, of course, and preaching through a bullhorn, you know, that's not what we do. But we can, a little bit more, support the work that's going on in the home office. The home office, the Church of God, the United Church of God, to my degree, to what I see, is performing a miraculous work today. It's unbelievable the stuff that's coming out of the home office from Cincinnati. The quality of the literature is amazing. The quantity of the literature coming out, the media, the television programming, all the commentary, the internet is, and all that we have there. You know, are we excited? Some. About all this literature and all the media that's announcing God's kingdom. I mean, we're ambassadors representing the kingdom. Can we get a little excited about, you know, all of us, the church, announcing the good news? Well, I think we should be. Envoys of God should be excited about offering what we have to the world. You know, years and years ago when God first called me, that was what kept us going. We had a vision greater than ourselves, a purpose, a mission greater than ourselves to share with this world what God gave us. And it drove us to support the work. Well, that's still going on. You know, God is working through us to bring real hope and that reconciliation to this world. You know, that's not gone away. Maybe not as many people God is bringing to reconciliation today, but that's God's problem. That's not ours. Our job is to put it out there and let God deal with it as He wants on His timetable, as to who He calls and who He reconciles with to bring into His body. You know, He's chosen to use us to be a light and to promote publicly the King of Kings of the government that we represent. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, you see, publicly, before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies or disowns me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, our King is full of love and mercy, but He does not want us to be cowards. You know, Mr. Francis quoted a scripture in Revelation listing those who would not be with God in the final end. One of those were cowards. He doesn't want us to be a coward and afraid of speaking the hope that lies within us. See, we can't be afraid. The diplomats of this world are charged with standing firm and speaking up for their country. That's their job. They stand up for their country. God expects the same, you know, from us. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul speaking here. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Now, if we're not interested in salvation, then what are we doing here? We're not an ambassador if we don't care anything about salvation, because that's all that God's kingdom basically is in a nutshell, is salvation, life eternal with God and His family. We need to use our diplomatic abilities and be firm and courageous in representing God's kingdom. You know, in 2 months, a brand new opportunity will pass our way to publicly confess God's truth. The Kingdom of God Bible Seminars will be in this coming September, which may bring some new people to services. We don't know. God's in charge of all of this. But there will be this opportunity to welcome and receive any and all that God may send to hear this gospel message that we are ambassadors of. These seminars are part of sharing what we have with the world. The world needs this message. And we should look forward to this. It's kind of a new adventure. You know, it's all in God's hands. It's somewhat of an experiment. We'll see how it goes. Doesn't go well, we'll come up with another plan to preach the gospel. God may prompt a large number, but He may prompt zero to come here in Tulsa for this seminar. It's in God's hands. But as ambassadors, you know, who believe, let's give all who show, you know, a very generous diplomatic welcome and make them feel you know, that we're happy to see you. Come and enjoy what we enjoy and share what we have. So, to conclude all of this, let's remember, though, to temper everything in humility. Let's be humble in Christ. You know, it's good, it's nice to see an ambassador of a country that has humility instead of arrogance. Humility is a tremendous gift that we should ask God for. Humble envoys from God. And, you know, you don't have to be rich in this world's goods to be an envoy. You know, probably the ambassadors and the diplomats of this world that are stationed are given good incomes and they live in very nice residences and embassies and so forth, and they have plenty of funds to do this and that. Well, you know, we don't have to live in nice homes to be an ambassador. We don't have to drive a Mercedes or a luxury car to be on God's team, part of His team of representatives. But we do have to be rich in God, you see. We have to be rich in God. And that's what's important. Last scripture, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation 3:18, speaking to the Laodicean church, Christ says, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, spiritually rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, spiritually clothed, and white, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see, spiritually see. You know, God not only wants us to be good ambassadors, but He wants us to be spiritually rich and spiritually clothed and able to see beyond this physical existence. A lot of what, like Mr. Francis was saying, the physical is going to pass away, and we've got to see beyond this physical. God's blessings overall are of a spiritual nature today. He may not be blessing us with a lot of goods, you know, physical things here and there, but He's offering you a spiritual gift of maybe the fruits of His Spirit, of love and joy and peace and patience. And He may be offering you to be able to be more patient in life than to have, you know, more income in life. That's His blessings to us now, is the spiritual richness of having a spiritually strong, you know, character to take on the qualities of God. So in closing, let's be ambassadors that are loyal and faithful to God's government and His laws, statutes. Let's avoid any action that would disgrace God's government. And let's be honored and happy to share with others the hope and blessings of God's government. And to do so will bring happiness to all of us.